What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. The first sweep edition of Phillies Today this season as the Phillies finish out a sweep of the Colorado Rockies for the first series of the year at home. And it was great to see. Obviously, the Phillies took care of business, did what they had to do against a couple of bad teams to start the year. The Nationals and the Rockies, they go 5-1, get off to a good start, which, you know, regardless of what happened last year, is always important. So really good stuff from the Phillies to begin the season, and they put themselves in a good spot going into a couple of tough series here against the Dodgers this weekend, which should just be really entertaining baseball. Going to be awesome to see the Dodgers here in Philly. There should be some buzz in the ballpark for sure, and definitely a measuring stick series despite it being really early, and you want to be able to, you know, play well against a good team in the Dodgers, and they are obviously off to a tremendous start, 7-0, and you have what is going to be a desperate Braves team after that, because my goodness, the Braves just have had a first couple of weeks from hell. These first, you know, X amount of games that they've played so far, I believe it's 0-6 now that the Braves are, and they just have totally imploded here. They've had Jerickson Profar get suspended for 80 games, who was basically their only big offseason acquisition. Obviously, they have Ronaldo Lopez, who was just injured and might end up missing 6 to 8 weeks. So not great on the Braves front, but they're going to be a desperate team when they take on the Phillies after the Dodgers series. So a couple of tough ones coming up for the Phillies, and it's going to be interesting to see how they fare in those series after, again, doing what they had to do and taking care of business against a couple of bad teams. Like that Rockies team, man, it must be absolutely brutal to be a Rockies fan. And, you know, their big free agent acquisition of a few years ago, Chris Bryant, just played his 162nd game in the fourth year of that contract, which is just turning into an absolute albatross. And hey, the Phillies were in on Chris Bryant that offseason. That was the Schwarber-Castellanos offseason where the Phillies were very much in the mix for Chris Bryant. I may or may not have wanted him to be a Phillies. So I won't admit that publicly now, but he was definitely in the mix to be a fill that offseason, and looking back, definitely good that that didn't end up happening, and he ended up in Colorado and not here. So come to think of it, those Cubs that were, that whole 2016 team that ended up all leaving, you know, Schwarber is really the only one, and we're going to get to Kyle Schwarber because, man, he is off to a super hot start. Besides Schwarber, you know, those Cubs of the 2016 team, like, kind of all fell off as soon as they left Chicago. Like, Rizzo had a, you know, nice little, I guess, half a year run with the Yankees, and then really, you know, started to take a turn for the worst. Obviously, Javier Baez turning into one of the worst contracts in the sport. I mentioned Chris Bryant and, you know, a bunch of other guys. Just Dexter Fowler, even once he went to St. Louis, just haven't had the same amount of success that they did in Chicago. But luckily for the Phillies, they got Kyle Schwarber, who has ended up being a massive piece for this team. And why don't we start with him? Because he is off to a tremendous start, hit his fourth home run of the season today. And a week in, he's the week in MVP of baseball, some might be saying. But no, he is hitting really well right now. And it's going to be an interesting development as the year goes along to see if he gets that extension that everyone has been talking about. Because, you know, we've seen some new contracts being signed around baseball. Ketel Marte just signed a 6-year extension. You saw Christian Campbell get one of those young guy, you know, value deals with the Red Sox. I believe it was 6 years, $80 million, or was it 8 years, $60 million? I might be. It's one or the other. I'm just drawing a blank on it right now. He gets his deal. Garrett Crochet gets his extension with the Red Sox as well. So you're seeing some new contracts in baseball. And I wonder if, you know, every time Kyle Schwarber hits a home run, he takes a little peek up in Dave Dombrowski's suite to say, hey, you know, my turn. It's time to pay me. So that's going to be interesting. And if you have listened to this pod before, you know how important I believe Kyle Schwarber is to this team. And it feels like he, again, just is the leader in the clubhouse, the vocal leader. And you know what he can do with the bat. He is one of the best power hitters in all of baseball and has been for the past half decade now. And just been absolutely crucial for this Phillies team since they've, you know, started to make these consistent runs into the playoffs. So extend Kyle Schwarber. He needs to be a Philly for the rest of his career, in my opinion. And I think he is one of those guys who, if you keep him around, regardless of how productive he is at the plate, obviously you want that to be at a reasonable number, but he's going to provide value for your baseball team, just considering what he brings from a leadership standpoint and also what he brings with the bat as well. So, and hey, Jack Fritz has brought this up before. Future manager of the Phillies? Feels like Kyle Schwarber could be one of those dudes that sticks around for a long time. So extend Kyle Schwarber just like 3-4 years at $20 million a year. Does that sound right? And I think that that would be something that the Phillies would certainly be in on. So Kyle Schwarber, great stuff. Have to talk about this guy, though, because he had a great performance today. Taijuan Walker. And you know what? Good for him, man, because he has taken as much crap as you can possibly take for anybody who has played for this Phillies team since they've started making their runs to the playoffs over the past 3 to 4 years, because he signs here after the 22 season when they go to the World Series. Obviously, we know that the contract does not age well. He has not performed to the capabilities that obviously Dave Dombrowski thought and all the people in the Phillies organization have thought. And he ends up making a start today because Ranger Suarez is hurt, and they end up pushing Zach Wheeler up to last night because Zach Wheeler, A, likes to pitch on regular rest, and B, I think they just wanted to get Taijuan the last start against the Rockies so that he didn't have to pitch against the Dodgers, and he might have to pitch that last game against the Braves. So, but yeah, they push Wheeler up. They move Taijuan to the series finale today, and he absolutely goes out there and shoves, and he throws 6 innings. Gave up, I believe, just 3 hits, had 6 strikeouts. Really good stuff from Taijuan today. I thought that the location of, you know, his pitch mix was really good. I thought the curveball was really good for him today. We know that the splitter has kind of been his calling card, and I thought he was locating that well. And just, he felt like he was in a rhythm out there. Felt like he was comfortable, felt like he was getting a groove. And I think the infield and the guys behind him like that he works quickly. And that's something where that's always been kind of how Taijuan works. And when he gets into that rhythm and is able to get quick outs and is pitching to contact, well, that's when you see a Taijuan Walker that you can, you know, trust in and believe in. And look, it's the Colorado Rockies. They are not a good lineup, but even though Hunter Goodman seemed to have their number all series, had a couple of homers in this series. But it was really good to see that out of Taijuan today. And he said post-game that, you know, Rob Thompson spoke to him before the game today and basically said that, you know, we just want you to leave the ballpark today feeling good about yourself. And obviously he is going to feel very good about himself tonight. He said his mom was in town. They're going to go out to dinner. So that's great for Taijuan. And you have to feel good for the guy because on opening day, you know, his name gets called by Dan Baker and he comes out of the dugout and he gets booed. And, you know, I understand why people were to boo him, but I'm not a booer. But I'm somebody who, if you're going to boo somebody who's dogging it or who's not trying or who's not living up to the bill that they were, you know, sort of advertised as. And with Taijuan, I think everyone just kind of knows over the past couple of years that, you know, his arm might be kind of cooked and he's obviously not going to get up to the velocity that he once did. And when they signed him, he was throwing 95, 96 miles an hour and he's just not going to be that pitcher again. But I'm not a big fan of necessarily just booing the guy because I think he is. I mean, he is trying. He is trying to go out there every start he makes and obviously be productive for this baseball team. And you had to feel good for the guy for going out there today and pitching very, very well against a Rockies team that, again, not the best offense, but at the same time, you still got to go out and get major league hitters out. So good stuff from Taijuan today. Have to feel good for him. And by the way, Antonio Senzatala, the starter for the Rockies, was off to like this ridiculous start. And by the way, the Phillies bit of not being able to hit the starters and then absolutely smoking the bullpen over the first week and change of the season, it's a pretty funny bit. I mean, they get absolutely shut down by the starters, their offense did. Even last night against Kyle Freeland, we obviously know what happened with Mackenzie Gore on opening day and against the Nationals, pretty much the whole series as well. They're smoking these bullpens, and against the starters, they're all going 6 innings, 1-2 runs, and it's good on them that they're working these starters and getting them out of the game despite the starters having success. Like, I think the approach at the plate has been much better to start the season. It feels like Trey has been more patient. Castellanos before today only had like 1 strikeout, I believe, on the year and has walked a good amount as well. So it is good to see those guys who you kind of worried about not necessarily having the right approach over the last few years, make those adjustments and sort of try to just be more patient at the plate, work pitchers, take walks, and, you know, do all that stuff. So it was good to see that's been a concerted effort to do that. But you got to hit some of these starters. I mean, they haven't faced the most talented staffs, and you know, they're gonna get challenged this weekend when they go against Yamamoto. They'll have Glasnow, Roki Sasaki will be pitching on Saturday night, so they'll have some more challenging tasks in front of them this weekend. But it's just a funny bit that they have decided not to hit the starters, and then when the bullpens come in, you know, the offense just turns it on and just starts crushing guys. So again, offense, I think it's been fine. I think that ultimately they, you know, it's good over the last couple of nights that they haven't needed the long ball as much. And Schwarber hit a massive bomb today. But, you know, they've gotten contributions from 1 through 9 in the lineup. And you know what? A guy I haven't brought up yet that I have to talk about right now is Edmundo Sosa. Because Edmundo Sosa has been, he's leading the league in average through the first, what, 7-8 games, which, again, very short sample size there. But he's hitting the ball really well right now and might be the hottest hitter in baseball. And he gets sits on the bench today, which is always interesting. And look, there, it's a crowded infield. I don't expect Edmundo Sosa to be an everyday starter on this team, but they've kind of teased that he could potentially play the outfield over the past couple of years. And they've tried him out in left. They've tried him out in center, potentially even during spring training. I think that's sort of his pathway to playing more. I think if they used him as sort of the Dodgers do with Tommy Edman, and Tommy Edman himself has been off to a great start out there in LA, like, he could be that utility guy that can play second base and, you know, hit against a left-hander when Stott can't, play center field and sort of platoon with Marsh. When Trey needs a breather, he can play shortstop. He can play third when Alec Boehm needs a breather. Just if he can play all these positions around the diamond and then contribute offensively like he has over the course of, you know, this past week, then that's where he becomes a really valuable player. And good baseball teams have guys like Edmundo Sosa who can move around the diamond and provide offensively as well when you need them to. So he's going to be one of those utility guys that is on a championship team. And I just really hope that he continues to, obviously he won't hit at a 600 clip the entire year, but I hope he continues to have the success and feel comfortable at the plate and get comfortable in a role as well, because it's obviously tough coming off of the bench most nights, and for him to be able to contribute offensively and get reps and get at bats and to, you know, do it as well as he has, that would be a phenomenal, phenomenal thing for this team. So offensively, that's kind of where I'm at. And Rojas has gotten off to a good start as well. He had a couple of hits last night, a couple RBIs too. And by the way, also with Rob Thompson, JT and Casty, I was talking about it last week. I didn't really understand why JT Realmuto was hitting as high as he was, and that I kind of wanted to make the flip-flop with him and Nick Castellanos. Rob Thompson has done that, and I think it's worked out great because I think, A, Nick likes hitting higher in the lineup. He gets more pitches to hit, and he's able to sort of feel more comfortable at the plate. But I also think it's good for JT because he takes a little bit of pressure off him being down in the lineup. He went 3-for-3 today, couple stolen bases, was really good out there. And Taijuan Walker gave him a ton of credit for what he did behind the plate as well, and how he's really become phenomenal at scouting these pitchers and or scouting these hitters and being able to get guys out in a number of ways. And I think JT, again, I would let him ride out this year. I'm not giving him the contract extension like I would with Schwarber, but good to see JT sort of rebound from a tough series up there in Washington after he had, you know, some struggles up there. He had that one triple that went off of Dylan Cruz's glove, but didn't really do much aside from that in that opening three games. So good to see him bounce back there. And as we expected, I talked about Taijuan, but this Phillies pitching staff been really, really impressive so far. Zach Wheeler again last night or Wednesday night, seven innings pitched, one run, just a homer to Hunter Goodman, which he had their number a little bit in this series. And he was, you know, Zach Wheeler-esque, and it really does feel like his year to win the Cy Young. And I know I was all on the Chris Sanchez train to win the Cy Young this year, but it feels like Zach Wheeler, now is his time. If he's ever going to win it, it's going to be this year. And he is just, he's dazzled through his first two starts. And it just feels like you expect 6-7 innings, one run, 10 strikeouts every time he goes out there. And he does the thing with his velocity where he doesn't even turn it up until the postseason. Like right now, he's sitting at 95, 96 on his fastball, and you know he's got more in the tank than that, because once he's into the postseason, he's throwing 97, 98, and we know in 22 that he had some back issues in August, and they ended up sort of giving him a breather there. It feels like he's learned how to manage his workload while he's still healthy throughout the course of a 162-game season, and he's just really impressive because I think his evolution as a pitcher has been something that's, you know, been really underappreciated here in Philadelphia and even just around baseball, because he's obviously a guy that can blow you away with velocity, and we've seen that his fastball can get guys out just based off of speed and rotations alone. But I think he's learned how to become a true pitcher's pitcher, where he's developed that splitter. He's developed the sweeper really well. He can just beat you in a number of ways. He can pitch to contact. He can get the swing and miss. And his sort of diverse, you know, pitching profile is one that I think goes underappreciated, because he is dominant and he does use the fastball to get guys out, but he can get you out in so many different ways right now. So was just really impressed with what I saw from Zach Wheeler these first two starts. And, you know, I don't expect anything else from him. He has become a bona fide top three pitcher in the sport. If there was a game seven tomorrow and, you know, out of all 30 teams, I needed one guy out there to, you know, throw me seven innings, one run, like I said, I'm probably picking Zach Wheeler, as good as, you know, Scooble and Paul Skeens and some of these other guys are. Crochet, Zach Wheeler is, I think, probably the best big game pitcher and the guy I would want to throw one game seven for me right now if I had to pick anybody. So great stuff from Wheels. Chris Sanchez, I thought, looked good in the home opener. He had that weird little play to first base where it seemed like he hurt his heel or hurt his ankle a little bit, and it felt like that sort of threw him off, and Rob Thompson ends up taking him out after five innings. But I thought the velocity was good. He's up to 97, 98 like he was in spring training. I thought the changeup was, you know, what we saw last year, and continues to get better. So I think Chris Sanchez and his development is continuing to look really good as well. And we'll see him against the Dodgers lineup this weekend. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Nola in his first start, it was so funny because it was such an Aaron Nola outing. I actually thought I know he gave up five runs, but I thought he looked pretty good for the most part. And I thought he was locating well. It's all about location of the fastballs, you know, with Nola. And as he does many times, he just made a couple mistakes and got homers hit off him. And that ended up being their one loss in the first six games. So I'm not really worried about him. I know what I'm going to get from Aaron Nola pretty much on a night-in, night-out basis. And I think he'll bounce back, and I think he'll be fine. He'll be pitching Saturday night, I believe, against Roki Sasaki there at CBP. So expect a bounce back start from Nola. And bullpen. The bullpen's been really good. The bullpen, I think, people were worried about it coming into the year just based off of Hoffman leaving, of course, and also Carlos Estevez. And I think that they just felt an arm short heading into the season. But I think the talent is still undeniable. Jose Alvarado, he had a rough, shaky outing today in this game to complete the sweep against the Rockies, but he bared down at the end there, got a couple big strikeouts, and ends up escaping. But before that, he was lights out, man. Just looked great. Command hadn't been an issue before today. And he also pitched the night prior and then pitched an early day game. So I'll sort of blame that aspect of it and just coming off of short rest there. But Jordan Romano, I think it's going to be an adventure with him a lot this year. He just feels very, again, I said this last time, just feels Kimbrel-esque, where he has the stuff. And his main problem, I think, is where it feels like when he has the velocity, he doesn't have the command, and vice versa. When he doesn't have the command, like, the velocity's there. Like, he was up to 96, 97 when he was throwing in Washington and even today in this game. And just it feels like he doesn't know where it's going sometimes. But then he dials it back down to like 94. And, you know, he's commanding the zone really well. So if he can sort of put those aspects of his game together and just, you know, get into a rhythm, have the velocity, have the command there, I think that he'll be fine. But it feels like it might be a semi-heart attack with him every time he is out on the mound. Kirkering looks great. I still think Kirkering can develop into a closer type of guy for the Phillies here, and I think that he's somebody who is continuing to get more confidence in his fastball, because that's always been sort of the issue with Kirkering. It's the sweeper's really good. You know, one of the best, or probably one of the best pitches, singular pitches that's on this Phillies team is a Kirkering sweeper. It's all just been about his fastball being too straight and him not having the best command of it. And it feels like that's improving steadily as his career has gone on here since he's come up in 2023. So I think the fastball looks much better than it did last year and the year before. So if he can continue to sort of develop that pitch and be a really good two-pitch pitcher, then Maybe he gets his shot at closing one day. Still really young. Came up, like, people forget he just came up so, so young. And he is going to continue to get better and to grow as a reliever. And I think that we should have a lot of faith in Orion Kerkering. Matt Strom, you know, doing what Matt Strom does, getting guys out. Got into a little bit of a jam on Wednesday night. Got a little shaky there. But like Alvarado did today, he bared down and was able to sort of get out of a sticky situation there. So I think the bullpen's been great. I think that they'll ultimately be one of the better bullpens in the league. Will they be as good as they were last year when they had two relievers in the All-Star game and basically were one of the most dominant groups in Major League Baseball? Maybe not, but I do think they are a top 5 to 10 bullpen in the league for sure, and I would be very surprised if they weren't up there by the end of the season with some of the top groups in Major League Baseball. So that's where I'm at with sort of lineup, bullpen, starting rotation, and let's get into a little quick preview of this weekend because I'm really looking forward to it, man. This is going to be such a fun series, and you're going to have CBP packed with fans. Like, the Dodgers are obviously 7-0, Phils are 5-1, and it's early in the season, I get it, but there's going to be some juice here for this game. It's going to feel like sort of a playoff atmosphere, and if you're a fan of baseball and if you're a fan of, you know, good baseball, it's going to be really exciting to see for sure. So tomorrow night, Friday night, you've got, and by the way, I think all the games are nationally televised. Maybe not Sunday. I know Friday night's Apple TV, so if you're looking for it, it's on Apple. Saturday, 4:05, that'll be on FS1. And yes, Sunday, 1:35. So I think that'll be local. But yeah, tomorrow night, Friday night, you will have a good matchup. Yamamoto against Jesus Luzardo. Luzardo makes his first start as a Philly at CBP. I thought he looked really good in Washington, had the 11 strikeouts and you know, had some electric stuff. Again, velocity up 97, 98. Stuff looked really good from Luzardo. So it'll be interesting to see him go up against, obviously, a very talented lineup there. In the Dodgers, it'll be interesting to see if Freddie Freeman plays. He hurt his rib, I think, in Japan, so he didn't play there. And then had like a thing going, getting out of the shower. I couldn't believe that report when I saw it, but was getting out of the shower and I think hurt himself a little bit. So he's been out the past couple of nights and has been day to day. So we'll be interested to see if he's in the lineup. But Saturday, as I mentioned, Aaron Nola, Roki Sasaki, 4:05. Sasaki had an interesting first couple of starts where his command has definitely been an issue and his velo has been a tick or two down since what he threw in Japan last season. And a big thing with him at free agency was that they weren't sure if he could pitch in big markets because he sort of gets worked up and I guess maybe has a little bit of anxiety, and they cut to a shot of him after he didn't have his best outing at Dodger Stadium for, you know, his Dodger Stadium debut. And he was like kind of like crying. So I'd be interested to see how he handles a pretty hostile crowd, which should be there in Philly this weekend. So I think the Phillies, if they're patient, might have a chance to do pretty well against Roki Sasaki. So we'll be looking out for that for sure. I think patience is really the key against him as he sort of works to regain his command over, you know, in the beginning of his MLB career here. So, and then to wrap up the series on Sunday, you'll have another good matchup, man. Tyler Glasnow, who looked really, really impressive in his first start against Christopher Sanchez, who, as I mentioned, might be in for a breakout year himself. So should be a really fun series down at Citizens Bank Park this weekend. If you're going, enjoy. I know I'll be there a couple of games, so I am really looking forward to it. And baseball's back, man. Like, so exciting. So happy we're back. Games are on every night, and let's do it, man. Let's take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers here this weekend. So should be good for sure. So for Phillies 24/7, thank you as always for listening. This has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.